The scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 through 13. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied. From her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees, as a mother comforts her child. So I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Tattletale. Ramona threw the twisted bag on the floor, and as Mrs. Griggs approached to see what had happened, she dodged past her teacher, out the door, down the hall, running as fast as she could, even though running in the halls was forbidden. She wove through the upper classes who had come down the stairs. She plowed through the other first grade coming out of room two. She jumped down the steps and was out of the building on her way home, running as hard as she could, her sandals pounding on the sidewalk and crackling through fallen leaves. She ran as if she were pursued by Susan, by Mrs. Griggs, the principal, all of room one, the whole school. She ran from her conscience and from God, who, as they said in Sunday school, was everywhere. She ran as if something was going to get her. She ran until her lungs felt as if they were bursting with smoky air. She ran until her sandals slipped on dry leaves and she fell, sprawling on the sidewalk. Ignoring the pain, she scrambled back to her feet and fled home with blood trickling from her knees. Ramona burst through the back door, safe from something. Mama, Mama, I fell down, she managed between gasps. Oh, poor baby. Mrs. Quimby took one look at Ramona's bloody legs and led her to the bathroom, where she knelt and cleaned the wounds, dabbed antiseptic, covering them with band-aids. Her mother's sympathy made Ramona feel sorry for herself. Poor little misunderstood first grader. Mrs. Quimby wiped Ramona's sweaty, tear-stained face with a damp washcloth, kissed Ramona for comfort, and said, That's my brave girl. Ramona wanted to say, but I'm not brave, Mama. I'm scared because I did something bad. Yet she could not force herself to admit the truth. Poor little Ramona with her wounded knees. Later, she would come clean. Mr. and Mrs. Quimby would head off to parents' night and learn of the terrible, awful thing Ramona had done in destroying her classmate Susan's owl. Ramona dreaded their return, but she knew she couldn't go to sleep. Her anxiety rose. Her little six-year-old conscience knew that she would have to face the music, disappoint her parents, and let the truth speak for itself. So she left a note for her mother in the spot that her mother would find it, just where they left such things like the keys. Though she was still learning to read and write, she managed a very grown-up message. Come here, Mother. Come to me. She left it unsigned, knowing that Beezus would have written in cursive, and her mother would know it was from her. And she waited, and she waited, and she waited, and her body was stiff with worry, wondering if her parents were telling their friends what a disappointment unruly Ramona was. She must have fallen asleep, because the next thing she knew, her mother was whispering, Ramona? I'm awake, Mama. Did you get my note? I had no idea you were old enough to leave a note. Mrs. Quimby's words gave Ramona a good feeling. Her mother knew the right answers to questions. She would explain everything. The way Susan had copied her owl in creativity. The way Mrs. Griggs had praised Susan. The way Ramona had stayed silent so as not to be a tattletale. The way Ramona crumpled her own owl in disgust, and the way smug Susan looked down upon Ramona, and the rage that compelled her to grab Susan's owl, smash it with her tiny little hands, and flee the scene. Mrs. Quimby smoothed Ramona's blankets. "Susan is the one I feel sorry for. You are the lucky one. You can think up your own ideas because you have imagination." Of course, she also told Ramona to apologize, but there was something about the way her mother responded. She saw Ramona for who she was, scared, sad, hurting. She didn't give Ramona a bye, but she saw deeper. She held her when she was in pain, tended to her words, wounds, and sat with her at bedside, seeing the good in her, saying just the right things. Is Mrs. Quimby the perfect mother? No. Not any more than Ramona was the perfect daughter, student, kid. But what Beverly Cleary did was capture mother and child in a real, raw way. And that's why children and their mothers, and their fathers and uncles and aunts, and teachers too, have been reading her books for decades. This one in particular, Ramona the Brave, written back in 75. And all these years later, we're finding insight and joy and a little bit of ourselves in her writing. Did you know that Beverly Cleary is 104 years old? I mean, that's just about as old as you can get, I would imagine. Who could be closer to God in age? So she must have some insight into the divine, don't you think? Her books are timeless. I've been reading this book to my daughter, and I am at one moment both my daughter's mother and my mother's daughter. I am Ramona Quimby, and I am Mrs. Quimby. I'm instantly back to when I read those words the first time, actually had them read to me, snuggled on the couch, connecting with that brave girl and the parents that read those words to me. I have a feeling a lot of my fellow Gen Xers and the generations that have followed have had the experience of being both child and parent, reading or being read to, as we see the world through the eyes of Ramona Quimby. She doesn't always get along with her mother. There's a whole book written about the ups and downs and all the misunderstandings that take place. But this little illustration that connects us so very much to our own childhood and perhaps our own parenthood highlights this experience of parent and child, the love of mother and child. And that's the love that we celebrate on Mother's Day. The humanity of these two, the child which each of us have been, and the mother that some of us have been. This day isn't easy for everyone. I'm fully aware of this and trying to be mindful each year to name that even as we celebrate Mother's Day, we also recognize that this day can be hard. It can be painful. It can bring up old wounds or pour salt into fresh ones. I think about those women who long to become mothers, who try month after month, year after year, with and even sometimes without a partner, while others unwittingly ask stabbing questions like, when are you two going to become parents? Or make your mom a grandmother already? Ignorant in the way their words are swords. I watched my sister-in-law and brother struggle with the pain of infertility. This day would hurt her so much. Thousands of dollars, the pricking and the prodding, the surgeries that might help this or that. A series of waiting and waiting and waiting, and then that anxious moment when it came to pee on a stick, and the emptiness of one more negative. I remember a terrible Mother's Day of my own. After years of struggling to become a single mother by choice and suffering a miscarriage, I silently sobbed my way through Paul Svensson's One Spirit of Love. And that line, some will be the mothers and some the fathers. And I wondered, will I ever be a mother? But I couldn't let on that I was mourning because nobody in the church knew that I had miscarried. Like so many women, I suffered in silence. 1 in 5 pregnancies ends in miscarriage, and too many know that pain. Or then I think about the mothers who have had to experience what is unimaginable. To me, seems like the worst kind of pain of all, those who have experienced their own child's death. I think about Linda Dixon and this Mother's Day and how it will feel this year without Andrew. Or the woman who I've spoken to, Kay Sandridge, who I didn't know, but who rushed here from Tennessee just over a week ago after her son died in an accident on the 405. I think about the pain that these mothers will feel year after year, and this first Mother's Day, the way it guts them in a manner I can't even fully fathom. Over the years, I've ministered to too many of you who don't get that phone call, those flowers, that hug. And my heart just rips apart thinking about the pain that you must feel every Mother's Day. And then I think about the women who have had to make the toughest choice of their lives. A choice that each woman deserves to make on her own, but one that never comes easily. How is she to feel on this day? Or other women who never wanted to become mothers, who didn't fit in the box that society said they had to fit into. This day is so hard for them too. That feeling of, this day isn't really for me. Even as we are mindful, especially here at Fairview, that the way each woman contributes in a mothering of our community, they still feel like they don't fit in that box. And they don't even want to. Forced to feel like imposters. Maybe it's just easier to stay home. Too many people choose not to come to church on Mother's Day for exactly these reasons. It's hard. And so it's hard for so many who are not mothers and long to be, or mothers who have experienced the pain of heartache knowing their child has died. Others of us are wrestling around the pain of our own mothers. Maybe she wasn't perfect. Maybe she was worse than not perfect. Maybe she was hard to live with, hard to love. Maybe we couldn't ever measure up, or maybe she was just never there. Or maybe she was there, and now she's not. Mother's Day is an opportunity for so many of us to grieve, where all of our emotions come back and we feel them deeply. It's lonely missing mom. And this Mother's Day, many of us feel that way, even if our mother is not dead. Because yes, many are grieving their mothers, but many of us are grieving the mothers who were forcibly estranged from in this time, at least physically estranged now. Missing a mom we cannot see, mindful of our elders, all of us are keeping our distance. I actually did get to see my mom recently. I couldn't hug her, and that was incredibly hard. Saying goodbye was really hard. But some of us don't even get to do that. We have to be satisfied with phone calls or screens. There will be no Mother's Day brunches this year. No visiting grandma, no warm embrace. I'm thinking about Suzanne and Dave Gumperts, who I know are watching. Suzanne's listening on the phone. and their mother, stepmother, Jenny, who is too quickly declining in a facility. It's happening so fast, and they can't get to her. They can't be close to her. A visit from a distance is all they can muster. That's painful. That's hard. I'm thankful they can go and look at her from a distance, but that's not what their heart wants. It's hard. It's a hard Mother's Day. Let me name how very grateful I am to be with my children this Mother's Day. But I also know that I, and a lot of mothers with young children, feel like we deserve a medal this year. Forget the flowers, forget the brunch. Give me a trophy for surviving motherhood during the coronavirus. Because I love being with my children. I love my kids. I am so grateful. They are the prayers answered. But I never wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And I definitely did not want to be a stay-at-home mom with a full-time job. I see you mamas out there. I see you. I am you. Earlier this week, Rev Steph, who you know often preaches when I'm out of town, wrote on a post that I put in the intention of being encouraging and in solidarity. And she wrote, "I made my kids Smurf blue pancakes because she felt badly that I had made pink heart pancakes and she felt like she wasn't keeping up." I felt so badly because, goodness, I was the one who was feeling badly about all those mothers out there who are baking with their children or teaching them how to sew or learning some new skill or craft, this or that. It was hard to be a mother before and keep up with the other mothers out there. But oh man, you throw the coronavirus into this, and it is hard for all of us to be a mom at this moment in time. I see you, sisters. I see you, parents. You are not alone. We say it all the time, but we are in this together. Because the truth is, this is hard for all of us, each in our own way. I try to be mindful that each of us is experiencing this quarantine differently. Some are really enjoying the family time. I mean, it blows my mind on Facebook to see how so many people are gathered around puzzles. Others are feeling overwhelmed by it. That's me. Some folks are feeling isolated. Some feel like it's hard to concentrate. Can't quite name or pinpoint why, but their minds are just a little foggier. Or some of us are about to snap, like Ramona did that fateful day in first grade. But I suppose it's in moments like these where we find ourselves close to snapping or run down, when we feel like we're not good enough or find ourselves hurting, when we face the emptiness and long for the days of freedom or the days when we had more control over our own situations and maybe even our own emotions. Sometimes we are angry and frustration, wishing the situation was different. Yes, sometimes we feel like running away. Like Ramona, who ran home, away from her problems, her school, her conscience, even the God who was everywhere, watching her every move. She ran home and into her mother's arms. It's then that we realize we aren't running away from God and all of our problems, our shame, our frustration and pain. We're running to something, someone. We're running to our God. Because just like Ramona found herself flung into her mother's arms, so are we running into God's arms. And isn't that what God's like? A mother's embrace? Not a judgy God who's judging us from everywhere, but a loving one who's present with us all the time. One who would hold us and tend to our wounds. One who would help set us right, but not make us feel bad. One who would see us for who we are. See us more deeply than others can fully recognize. and love us. Love us, even when we've cried our eyes out, when we're red and puffy and ugly by every standard of beauty. But none of that matters, because we are loved. That's a mother's love. That's our God's love. And that's just what we need right now, to be held in the embrace. Look, Ramona's mom didn't let her off the hook, but she held her. She comforted her. She was with her, tending her wounds, sitting at her bedside. The constant, dependable presence of our mother and God. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Whether we find ourselves the Ramonas or the Mrs. Quimbys or both, whether we are hurting, longing, itching to run wild, to bust out the doors, whether we are mourning this Mother's Day and all that was and isn't now, whether we are missing our moms, or regretful, or sad, even angry that we didn't get the mom we wanted, or have yet become the mom we wish to be, may we find comfort in our God, the perfect mother, the present mother, who comforts us and holds us and maybe even rejoices with us, because there is so much joy among us. There are blessings to be counted, and we are invited to rejoice. To rejoice in the comfort of our mother and God. Amen. Amen.